Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Mem Dalid. We're holding on daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisheva Numin, Lezuchus for Shalema, for Sarah Frey, the Baschaya, and Lezechar Nishmas, Chayim Naftali ben Yaakov for Shlomo, and Devorah Shirachaya, Bas Yaakov Leib, and it is co-sponsored anonymously, Lekavod HaTorah Velom Deha. So we are going to begin with the Mishnah on daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, where we're going to have Machlokas. When you have these Kalim that we were discussing that have these images on it that are problematic because it's Avodah Zarah, so we mentioned you could throw it to the Amamelech, but our Mishnah is going to have Machlokas. Can you grind up the Kli and just throw it into the wind? Is that a concern that it's going to become Zevel for fields and that people are going to get Hanah from it? The Gemara is going to have on Amud Aleph four rayas for Rabbi Yossi that you're allowed to grind up an Avodah Zarah and throw it to the wind, and the Gemara is going to reject those rayas. And then on the bottom of the page on Amud Aleph is going to be a discussion of the crown of David HaMelech, some of the details of what was unique about the crown of David HaMelech, the value of the crown of David HaMelech. And then the Gemara, the Mishnah on Amud Beis, on the top of Amud Beis, is going to tell us, is going to have a conversation where Rabbi Gamliel gives three different explanations as to why he feels that he's allowed to bathe in a merchatz of Avodah Zarah, and a merchatz that belongs to an Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is going to discuss that while Rabbi Gamliel was in the merchatz, he didn't want to give an answer to explain, but he said, "Ein meshivin b'merchatz." So the Gemara says, are you even allowed to say that in a merchatz? That too is a halacha, that ein meshivin b'merchatz. And then the Gemara is going to have four different explanations of a machlokas amoraim, whether Rabbi Gamliel's answers to the Ovid Kochavim, who he was speaking to, were actually true answers, or they were what we call a tshuva genuva. They were a way of pushing off the Ovid Kochavim. So there's a machlokas whether it was a tshuva genuva or not. Four explanations of what exactly that machlokas was. So let's begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shochik v'zara l'ruach omata liyam. Rabbi Yossi says it's not only sufficient to throw it into the Yam HaMelech. You can also instead, you could just grind up these kalim that have the image of the chama, the levana, the droken, whatever it is, and you can grind it up and throw it into the wind or throw it into the ocean. Amrullah, the chama said, afhu nasa zevel. Shenemar liyidbar b'yadcham u'ma menacherim. If you do that, it's going to become zevel, and that's going to be a violation of an iser hana'a. Says Tosos, Amrullah, afhu nasa zevel, pirush rashbam, v'kasavri, zevzeh goreim aser. And the Chachamim are assuming clearly this isn't going to be the only thing that fertilizes these fields, but it's going to aid in the fertilization of these fields, and it's going to as well as mutter fertilizers. So the assumption is that the Chachamim hold zevzeh goreim is aser when there are multiple causes for the growth, and one of them is a davar aser. So the whole thing is going to be aser. Rabbi Yossi lo chayish tasavar zevzeh goreim mutter. And the reason Rabbi Yossi held it's okay is because zevzeh goreim is mutter. I mean, kol makom asur lezavel sadel lechatchila after Rabbi Yossi bezavel shavel zchavim kivet shum miskavim lehanos. But certainly even Rabbi Yossi would say that you're not allowed to lechatchila take zevel of avodah zarah and use it on purpose, even though the product of it b'di'eved will be mutter because there's other zevel that's mutter that also went into growing the fields. Ve'im lahakshus drabban adrabban da'ach chayish drabban zevel vilu gabi chame. That one might ask, wait, according to the Rabbanan, over here we're choshesh for this zevel from Yisuriyana, yet when it comes to chametz bepesach, we're almost at shloshim yom lefnei chag, when it comes to chametz bepesach, that mefar v'zora l'ruach, the chachamim hold that it's perfectly fine to grind it up and crumble it up and throw it into the wind, says Tosos, that's not a problem. The yesh l'chalik, abe chametz k'siv lo yochal, abe hilkach eno asa. By chametz, even though it's an isra hana'a, it says lo yeachel. The Gemara darshins in Maseches Pesachim that whenever it says lo yeachel, it's echad isra achila, echad isra hana'a b'mashma, that you're not even allowed to get hana'a from it. But still, the fact that the Torah formulates it as lo yeachel, it tells us that the isra hana'a is only kiderech hana'a, is only the way that it's normal to get hana'a from it. The way that it's normal to get hana'a from chametz is by eating it or something like that. But throwing it to the wind, where it might become something that's going to benefit someone's field, that's not a normal derech hanah. Aval bavod chavim ksiv lo yidbak biyad chamu'um min acherim. But by aval dezara, it doesn't say lo yeachel. It says you cannot have any connection to it whatsoever. That implies vafilu kolduhu, even the tiniest connection. Inami rabbanim dahasam ayin rabbi yosi dacha. Or it says tells us a simpler answer. Not every time it says the rabbanim in shas is it the same rabbanim. There were a lot of rabbis throughout human history, so it's lav dafka the same rabbanim. So the rabbanim over there might be Rabbi Yossi over here, who has no problem with throwing something into the wind. Says the Gemara now, Tanya, Amar lehem Rabbi Yossi. So again, the Gemara is going to have, as we said before, Rabbi Yossi is going to bring four rayas that when you have something that's avodah zarah, something that's asur b'hanah, you're allowed to grind it up and throw it into the wind, and you don't have to worry about what's going to be with it once you throw it into the wind. So Amar lehem Rabbi Yossi, Velo kvar nemar. Pasuk says, Ve'eschataschem asher asisem es ha'egel lokachti ve'esrofo so be'esh ve'akoso so tachonei tev ad asher dak le'ofar v'ashlicha safar al'nach la'yori min ahar. What happened to the Egel? It's this week's parsha. It's a Yomi coincidence. We're so busy thinking about Purim. It's this week's parsha. What happened to the Egel that the Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and he saw the Egel? So what did they do with it? So they burnt it. They ground it up. And Vashlichu Sofer al Nachal Hayori Min Ahar. And he throws it into the water. So don't you see that he's allowed to throw it, that you're allowed to grind it up and throw it away? Amar lo Misham Raya. You think that's a Raya? The Chum say back. Harei Omer V'Yisrael Pnei Hamayim Vayashkas Pnei Yisrael Lo Niskavin Ela Lebotkan Kisotos. That all he was trying to do was to grind it up into the water so that he can then give Klal Yisrael that water to drink, and it's going to be bodek them like a sota, that whoever is guilty is going to die from drinking that water, just like a sota would die from drinking the water, the special potion that's made for her using the Shem Hashem that's ground up into the water. So there's Machlok Rishonim, what exactly the Raya Rabbi Yossi brought was, and what the response was. Tosfos on Mem Gimel and Beis Dibur Maskel Amar writes in the name of the Rashbam that from the fact that it says Ve'akos Oso, Rabbi Yossi understood that he ground up the Egel in order to throw it into the wind. So you see that you're allowed to destroy it by throwing it into the wind. And if that's the Taina, the Chacham's response is that he did not throw it into the wind. He threw it into the water because he wanted to give the water to Klal Yisrael to drink from. That was the back and forth. However, Tosfos says a different pshat, that even Rabbi Yossi was well aware that Moshe Rabbeinu was throwing it into the Nachal. But Rabbi Yossi's raya was that even throwing it into the wind would be mutter, because when you throw it into the Nachal, it's not gone either. You throw it into the Nachal, very often it will wash ashore. There will be some dirt from the water that will wash ashore, that will come up by the riverbanks and will fertilize whatever happens to be growing by the banks of that river. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, if you're allowed to throw to the Nachal, then you're allowed to throw to the Ruach as well, and you don't have to worry about the Zevel. And the response of the Chachamim is, no, this was not going to wash ashore, because Moshe Rabbeinu, immediately after throwing it into the water, was going to take all of that water and feed it to Bnei Yisrael, to be bodek like a sota, to be bodek who in fact was guilty and who is not guilty. The Ravid writes that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be bodek like bodek them like a sota, because those who died bedroken, meaning there were different punishments, Rashi of your quotes also, there are different punishments for different people based on the level of their involvement in the Egel. So the Ravid says those who died bedroken were those that were not oved the Egel, but were sameach ba'asiyaso, they were happy about the Egel. The reason Moshe Rabbeinu had to give them to drink was to check to see if they in fact were happy, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would just kill them without any bedika, then they wouldn't realize that they died because of this sin, and people would mock HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say that he's killing innocent people. So they dafka did this bedika, which was something people were going to believe in for some reason, and that they were going to be satisfied with, that guilty parties will be identified through this bedika. Okay, Amalem Rabbi Yossi now says a second raya that you're allowed to be Zora L'Ruach. Some of them, Rabbi Yossi, Valok Farnemar, the Pasuk says, that we have a lot of Girsaos over here, but we'll read it the way the Pasuk actually says, V'gam Macha Eim Osa HaMelech. Hisira migvira asher asala shera miflatzes vayichros asas mafatzda vayarak vayisrof penachal kidron. That when Asa was cleaning out all the remnants of Avodah Zarah, he was getting rid of all the problematic history that came before him. So he had to even get rid of his own mother from her position of prominence because she made him a mafletzes for Avodah Zarah. So he ground it up, burnt it in Nachal Kidron. So I'm low. So you see, what do you see? That burning it up, grinding it up, and throwing to Nachal Kidron is perfectly acceptable. So apparently, when you have something that's asabana, you're allowed to grind it up and just chuck it into the wind, and that's fine. You don't have to worry that it's going to cause growth in the fields. So I'm low. The Chum said back, Misham Raya, Nachal Kidron in Megalat Smechen. Nachal Kidron can't grow anything in it, so you don't have to worry. That's why he was allowed to throw it into Nachal Kidron. Says Gemara, are you sure that it can't grow anything? V'lo, v'atanya, elu ve'elu misarvin ba'ama, v'yotz l'nachal kidron, v'lim karl l'gananin, l'zavel, u'molin behen. But we have a brisa that tells us that that the blood from that was used for the damma chitzonim as well as the damma pnimim, which were poured into the Yesod HaMizbeach, would drain out of the Beis HaMikdash and end up in Nachal Kidron. And when it would end up in Nachal Kidron, it was then used as fertilizer. It was already Nasis Mitzvaso, so it's no longer Asr Bahana, because it was already done, whatever you had to do with it in the Beis HaMikdash was already done. So now they're allowed to use it as fertilizer. So they would sell it to the gardeners in Nachal Kidron. But apparently, in Nachal Kidron, it was used. So don't tell me that Nachal Kidron is not able to be Megadol Tzmach and that nothing could grow there. Why are they selling fertilizer there if nothing could grow there? So says Gemara, Mekamos Mekamos Yeshbo. It must be that there are different spots within Nachal Kidron. Yesh Makom Megadol Tzmachim, Yesh Makom She'ein Megadol Tzmachim. Some places they can be Megadol, some places can grow, others cannot. So when Asa threw to Nachal Kidron, he was careful to throw Dafka, to throw the Avodah Zarah into a place that cannot be Megadol Tzmachim, and that's why it was okay for him to do that. When the blood would drain out of the Beis HaMikdash into Nachal Kidron, they sell it to Gananim, that was in parts of Nachal Kidron where they can grow things. Tosus points out that there's a much more obvious answer that the Gemara doesn't give, and he just leaves, he doesn't even say why the Gemara doesn't give it. He just says, you know, Hayyachal Tarit Shaganonim Ayim Mimakom Acher. All it says is that there were people who would buy fertilizer in Nachal Kidron. It doesn't say that they would use that fertilizer in Nachal Kidron. These Gananim may have come from anywhere to buy, because that's where it drains to. It's not, it wasn't that they bought it in Nachal Kidron because that's where their gardens were. They bought it in Nachal Kidron because that's where the blood from the Beis HaMikdash drained out to Nachal Kidron. So I don't know why the Gemara doesn't say that answer. It seems like a much more obvious answer than to say Mekamos, Mekamos Yesh. My Maflatzta, what was this thing that she made for, that his mother made for the Avodah Zarah, that on account of that, he had to make sure she was no longer in a position of prominence? Amar Rav Yehuda dava mafli leitzanusa. Maflatzta is a lashon that the level of leitzanus was peladik, was unbelievable. Ketani Rav Yosef kemin zachrus asala, she made for the Asherah tree like a male form, vaysa nev'elas lo b'chol yom, and she would have been nev'elas to it every single day. So that's a stunning level of leitzanus of what she would do with the Avodah Zarah. Now, when we say that Nachal Kidron is not Megadol Tzmachim, Tosos in Dibur Maskil Nachal is medayik that apparently in a place that's ro'i legadol tzmachim, grinding up metal things would help it be Megadol. And that's why the Chacham Masur taking an Avodah Zarah that's made out of metal and throwing it into the wind, because it's going to fertilize the fields and it's going to help the growth. Tosfos says, but there's a problem, because the Gemara Maseches Chulin Daf Peches discusses what you're allowed to use for the mitzvah of Kisui Adam and what you're not allowed to use for the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. And one of the requirements is whatever you cover the blood with has to be something that can be Megadol Tzmachim. It has to be something that can grow vegetation in it. So the Gemara says, ground up metal, no good for Kisui Adam, because it can never be Megadol Tzmachim. So Tosfos says, our Gemara is saying that the reason you're not allowed to grind wind up the metal, the Avodah Zarah, and throw it to the wind is because it's going to be Megadol Tzmachim. So Tosfos gives two answers. Number one, he says, it can't be Megadol Tzmachim on its own. But as we said before, this is a Zev Zev Gorem situation. This isn't all the fertilizer these fields are going to receive. It's going to aid in the fertilization of these fields. But on its own, it wouldn't be able to be Megadol Tzmachim. The other suggestion Tosfos has is that when it's burnt, it's able to be Megadol Tzmachim. If you just grind up the metal without burning it, that's what the Gemara Chulim is talking about. Over here, he burnt it, and then was Zora L'Ruach, and was therefore able to be Megadol Tzmachim. Tosa Rush wonders about that second Teretz, because in the Mishnah, with Machlokas, Chum and Rabbi Yossi, whether you're allowed to be Mevar Avodah Zarah, B'Shchiko Uzriya L'Ruach, by grinding it up and throwing it into the wind, and whether that's going to be Zevel. And if it's not burnt, so it's not Ru'il Zevel. So what are they arguing about? It sounds like they're not arguing about where it is burnt in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, true, it may be that in Asa's case, he burnt it. Good. But in the Mishnah, that's not what was going on. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi was saying you could just grind it up and throw it to the wind. And the Chum said, no, that's going to be Mezavel Sados. So that's against the second answer of Tosos. That's what Tosos Rush points out. It's very difficult to understand. In that light, it's very difficult to understand the second answer of this Tosos. So the question of whether when something is burnt, whether it now loses its status entirely, was a question halacha lemaisa that Poskim dealt with when they talk about a drink called cognac. How do they make it? Apparently, they cook the grapes or the wine, and somehow some part of it gets dehydrated, and from stam yenam, they make something that's not yayin exactly, it's some other alcoholic beverage. So the Rivash already in a tshuva, in Siman Reish Nun Hey, was asked whether cognac is mutter, it's made from yayin, if it were made from yayin nesach, whether it would be mutter, because the yayin is not really there, it's the zeya of the yayin that they're using. The yayin was red, and now it's like mayim, it's clear colored, and the whole tam and the reyach of the yayin is gone. So do you say that it's totally mutter? So the Rivash says all isurei avodah zarah are aser, even kishenisrafu v'hayu efer, even if they're burnt and they're turned to ashes, the efer itself is aser. That's a sugyum psachim. Kolan israfin afaran mutter chutz me'atzei ashera. Most things, when you burn them, the efer is going to be mutter, but not avodah zarah, because by avodah zarah it says lo yidbak biyachum u'uma min acherim. And he brings from our Mishnah, we find these kelim of avodah zarah. Rabbi Yossi says shochek zora l'ruach mataliyam. The Chum say no, it's going to be zevel lo yidbak biyachum u'uma min acherim. And it sounds from the Gemara that even after you burn it, the chacham maser to throw it in a place where it's megadol tzmachim, because that's exactly what's going on in this part of the Gemara. Asa takes the mafletzes that his mother made, vayidok vayisrof b'nachal kidron, and still the Chum say misham raya, nah, he was thrown to a place that doesn't grow anything. You know what they should have said? Misham raya, he burnt it. Once it's burnt, it's okay. So says the Rivash, you see, that even once it's burnt, not okay. That it would not be okay even after it's burnt. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Rivash, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that it's aser, and the Rama writes, Perish Dvarav, Yayin Sarav, Sha'osin Miyayin Nesach, Afal Pishenu Rag Zeya Min Nesach, Hareuki Isratzmo. Even though all it is Zeya, nevertheless, it's going to be aser. So that's a halacha lemaisa ramification of this idea that even after it's saruf, it remains aser. So now the Gemara says a third raya that Rabbi Yossi has, that it's okay to take the avodah zarah, grind it up, and just throw it into the wind. Amalan Rabbi Yossi v'alokver nemar v'kitas nechash ha-nechoshar asa Moshe, that they ground up the nechash ha-nechoshes that Moshe Rabbeinu had made, because at that time it had become an avodah zarah, so it had to get destroyed. So Amalan misham raya harei omer v'yomer Hashem Moshe asei lecha saraf lecha misha lecha. No, you can't bring a raya from the fact that grinding up the nechash ha-nechoshes was good enough and just throwing it into the wind was good enough. That was different, because the Nechash and Nechoshes was made out of Moshe Rabbeinu's own personal property. And the rule is, you can't ask for something that doesn't belong to you. So all of those who worshipped it were worshipping took something that didn't belong to them, so they can't asur. It belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the truth is, obviously, if they can't even asur it, then there's no reason to even grind it up in the first place. But once they saw that Klal Yisrael was doing terrible things and they were treating it like an avodah zara, he chose to grind it up, but he really didn't have to grind it up because it wasn't really didn't really have the status of an isur ana, because someone cannot ask for something that doesn't belong to them. That idea of Einad Mosu Davar Sheina Shalom, you know, comes up a lot in avodah zara. I walk out of my house one morning and I see my neighbor bowing down to my car. My car doesn't become an isur ana just because he's bowing down to it. It's mine. He can't ask. But that doesn't happen every morning. Most mornings my neighbor's not bowing down to my car. So where do you have a situation like la halacha that it comes up in the most davar sheinu shalom? So there's a notion in Hilchos Shabbos called the basis l'davar ha'asur, that if I put a muktzah item on something else, the item that's holding the muktzah is a basis l'davar ha'asur. However, Mishmur writes, if someone else puts a muktzah item on my thing, they can't turn my item into a basis l'davar ha'asur because they decided to put a muktzah item on my thing. There is a discussion in the poskim, what if it was my wife? What if it was my kids? Meaning, at what point do you assume that we're all just an extension that, you know, of each other? That within a household, we're allowed to just put things where we put them, and it's all considered like I put them there. Like, who's considered somebody else? So that's not abundantly clear in poskim. Pashtus is, if my wife puts something on my stuff, so that would make it a basis l'davar ha'asur. That would not be considered like an outsider doing it. It could even be that someone who works for me would make it a basis l'davar ha'asur, right? Kal v'chomer, my wife or my children. But that would be a practical example of being osur davar she'eno shalom. Now Rabbi Yossi says a third raya that you can grind it up and you can grind up an avodah zara and throw it into the wind. That the avodah zaras of the plishtim, that they scattered them. David and his men scattered them. So don't you see? He ground them up, scattered them, and that was fine. Who said the word Vayisaim means scattered them? So says Gemara, yeah, Kedim Targum Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, who was a great expert in Targum, used to be, because he was blind, so he couldn't say Dvarim Shebichsav Balpeh, so he had to say everything in Targum. So he said, Tizram Ruach Tisaim Umetargaminan, and the Targum was Tazrinan Veruach Tetaltalinun, that scatter them, and the wind will carry them off. So they said, Misham Raya, Harei Omer, Vayisrafu Ve'esh. No, it says that they were burnt. Umidloksiv Vayisrafeim Vayisaim, Shema Mina Vayisaim Mamish. And from the fact that it doesn't say Vayisrafeim Vayisaim, you see that Vayisaim doesn't mean to scatter them, it means literally to carry them. So says Gemara, well, then we really have a stira. Mikomakum Kashu Kraya Dadi. So what do? Did they burn them or did they carry them off? So the Gemara explains, Kidrav Huna. We have to explain it the way Rav Huna did. Rav Huna Rami. Rav Huna asked the following stira. Ksiv vayomer David v'Yisru ve'esh. Uksiv v'yiseim. Lo kasha. Kan kodem sheba itay agiti. Kan la'achar sheba itay hagiti. Once itay agiti came, and he was an Ovid Kochavim, who therefore, he was a guy, who therefore has the ability to be mevatel avodah zarah of Ovid Kochavim chavero, so David HaMelech was able to get him to be mevatel all the avodah zarah, then they were allowed to use it. Then they were allowed to use it however they wanted. But before itay hagiti showed up, they couldn't do anything about it, so they had to burn it. So that's the answer to the stira. D'chsiv v'yikach What did David HaMelech do? He took the crown that was on the avodah zarah and he used it himself. So, frankly, Gemara, Umishari, how's he allowed to do that? It's Yisuri Anan to take a crown that was for an avodah zarah to use it for himself. Amrav Nachman, Itay Agiti, Bava Bitla. No, that was the function of what Itay Agiti did. Itay Agiti came and he made it okay because he was Mevatel, the avodah zarah from it. Tosos points out, Kan Kodim Shor Itay Agiti, Tema. Remember we learned yesterday that Rabbi Lazar HaKapar met up with an Ovid Kochavim who was a katan and he left him alone. But then he saw a gadol. I don't know, it was yesterday, today, I remember when. And then he saw a gadol and he said, and he said, be mevatel the Sava Dezara. The guy said no. He smacked him in the face. And then he did it. So apparently you're allowed to force an Ovid Kochavim to be mevatel. What do you have to wait for Itay Agiti? You're winning a war. Go take any Ovid Kochavim and have him be mevatel it. And plus, if you hold that a broken avodah zarah, even Yisrael, could be mevatel, why didn't David just break it? So you have to come up with something. So Tosfos says maybe there's a difference between avodah zarah made out of eitz and avodah zarah made out of mateches. But anyway, this is the crown that David got from an avodah zarah. So once we talk about this crown, the rest of the amud is going to mention some details about this crown. Mishkala kikar zahav. Its weight was a kikar zahav. So says the Gemara, that is heavy. Heifi matzi manachla. How do you wear a crown that weighs a kikar zahav? Amar vidam rav ru'i lenuach al rosh David. It was ru'i to go on David's head. Meaning, it doesn't mean that it actually went on David's head, because it would have been way too heavy. It means that it would have fit David. It was ru'i for David's head. That's all it means. But he never actually wore it. Rabbi Yosef b'chinina amar, Evan show eves haisaba, David's darala. No, it did, the weight of it was not, David's head did not bear the weight of the crown, because there was a magnet above the crown that would sort of make it hover just above his head, so that he would sit under it, you know, he would just position himself under it, that it would appear that it was on his head. Rabbi Lazar amar, Evan yukara isaba sheshava kikarzav. And Rabbi Lazar says, no, it wasn't actually, it didn't actually weigh a kikarzav, it had a precious gem that was very light, but it was a precious gem that equaled the value of a kikar zav, but it didn't actually weigh a kikar zav. If you look at Tos, Evan Shoeves Hayubak, Shoy Yoshev Al Kisa Malchusa Menichav Evan Shoeves Shekul Lemalav Loisa Evan Shoeves Chakuka Benezer. That it wasn't that the magnet was in the crown, there was a magnet above his throne, Tos says, and therefore he only wore the crown while sitting on the throne, because he wasn't actually wearing it. This is assuming, like the Shita that says that it in fact was a magnet. The Tosus Ri Mi Barina explains that that he had a Sharbit HaZahav, that at the end of the Sharbit HaZahav was a magnet. So he was able to walk, and the Sharbit HaZahav was like angled, so he would hold the Sharbit in such a way that the tip of it was over his head, and that's what had the magnet that would hold it over his head. But you gotta, once there's any Rishon says anything about a Sharbit, then it's Tainus Esther. You gotta mention something about the royal staff. Good. So Zosai Sili Kipu Gudecha Natsarti. Maika Amar, what's he saying in this pasuk? Kachik Amar, Bischar Shebikudecha Natsarti, Zosai Sili Le Edus. Because I observed your commandments, Hashem, that's why I have this Edus of this crown. My Edus, so why is the crown an Edus? What's it an Edus for? That you're rich? How's that testimony for anything? Some Rabbi Shob Ben Levi, Sheimanicha B'makum Tfilin Va'olamto, that he put it on the area of his tefillin and his head was able to wear it in the makom of the tefillin. And that was a great nace, Tosfos says, because his head was totally round and the crown was totally round. So normally a person's head is somewhat egg-shaped, is not completely round, so it wouldn't fit. But this fit on his head, and that was the raya. But how could he put on his makom tefillin v'abayi anuche tefillin? Doesn't he need to put on tefillin in his makom tefillin? Amar Shomer Yitzchak, makom yesh barosh, sharoi laniach bo, shtei tefillin. There's enough room on the head that you could put on two pairs of tefillin. V'yotziu es ben ha-melech v'yitnu alav asa nezer v'asa edus. Nezer zu kalila. Edus, I'm Rabbi Damrav, Edus Lubay Stavish, Kalaray Lamalchus, Halamto, Kalshay Laray Lamalchus, Ein Alamto. That the crown itself is the Edus. That anyone who's Ray Lamalchus is able to wear the crown, his head will fit the crown, and anyone who's not Ray Lamalchus could not fit the crown. His head, the crown did not fit his head. Vadonio ben Chagis Misnasi Lemar Aniamloch. Adonio said, I'm going to be the king. I'm Rabbi Damrav, Shemisnasi Lahomov Lalamto. He hoped that the crown would fit him, but it didn't, because he wasn't Malchus. And he had 50 men running in front of him. My Rabbi Sai, what was special about these 50 men? Meaning there are a lot of kings that probably had more than 50 men that could be runners if they wanted. What was special about David HaMelech's 50 men? So Tanakulam Natu Etachul Chakuki Kapos Raglayim Hayu. They were all modified in order to be able to maximize their running ability. Their spleens were removed, and the bottoms of their feet were scraped off so that are down to the bone, so that they didn't feel any pain. There were no nerve endings on the bottoms of their feet, so they didn't feel any pain when they were running on thorns and on shattered glass or something like that. It wouldn't bother them at all. The Tosos over here, as we said before, says that it was a great nace that this crown was able to fit on his head because it was totally round. And the Torah Chaim, he wonders, why did David HaMelech have to put the crown dafka on the Makom Tefillin? Why couldn't he put it l'malad Makom HaTefillin in the part of the head that is round? Meaning, we wear yarmulkes that are pretty much round, and you just position them properly, and you're fine. So why couldn't he do that? You have a round crown, so of course if you try to put it over your Makom Tefillin, it's not going to fit properly. But why did he have to do that? Just put it l'malad Makom HaTefillin. So he says, a Melech Yisrael is not allowed to place an Atara l'mayla, because the Tefillin always has to be l'malad Mikisro. So he dafka had to put the Atara b'makom HaTefillin, because Makom Yesh Barosh L'Aniach Shnei Tefillin, so there's still room for the Tefillin above the crown and not the crown above the Tefillin. And says, and the Torah Chaim brings from a Targum in Megillas Esther, that Mordechai also had an Ateres Zahav, and he had Tefillin that was L'mala from his Ateres Zahav. That Dafka and the Kohen Gadol also, Makom Bein Atzitz L'Mitznefes Shaboyim Aniach Shnei Tefillin, last week's parasha, the Big Day Kuna, Makom Shabein Atzitz L'Mitznefes, where he put the Tefillin, Dafka L'mala Min Atzitz, because the Tzitz is like a keser, the tzitz is like a crown. So the tefillin always has to go above the crown. There is discussion in the poskim when we say Makom Yesh Barosh L'Aniach Shnei Tefillin, where? Does it mean side by side? Or does it mean one above the other, that there's Makom in the Rosh for Shnei Tefillin? So the Divrei Chaim has a famous tshuva in Or Chaim Chelek Beis Siman Vav, where he discusses using a Tefillin mirror to make sure your Tefillin are placed properly. And he's very against it. He doesn't, because the Shulchan Aruch says men aren't supposed to use mirrors. So he said, there's no had to use a mirror to check where your Tefillin are placed. So what do you need to check where your Tefillin Tamaratzus? Makom Yesh Barosh L'Aniach Shnei Tefillin. So even if it's totally off-center, it's fine. There's enough room for two pairs of tefillin, so it could be way off center. So it's not so pashut what he says, because Makom Yesh Barosh L'Aniach Shnei Tefillin from the pashut of the Gemara sounds like it's not zebit sadzed zelamalamiza. So to see that it's not off center is important. The Radvaz writes Yesh Barosh L'Aniach Shnei Tefillin loze etzelze, not one next to the other. He says, but what zelamalamiza, and that's what passes halach l'maisa for people who wear two tefillin. There are people that when they wear tefillin to Rashi, tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not one after the other. There are those that wear it simultaneously, so it's important to know, where is the Makom Yesh Barosh? Do you do one behind the other, or one next to the other? So he said, the halacha is really one behind the other. In fact, in the Panini Halacha section of the Masif, it says that they asked the Divrei Yoel, the Satmer, what the Divrei Chaim was thinking. Meaning, aside from that, it's also if you were to wear it Zebit Sad Zed, it doesn't even make sense, because it's supposed to be Bein Einechem. So it's not going to be Bein Einechem. One will be on one side, one will be on the other side. So he suggests, no, it's still called Bein Einechem. Divrei Chaim held that it's Zebit Sad Zed, like some Rishonim hold, and that it's still called Bein Einechem as long as it's within the vicinity. So he thought that it's allowed to be off center, and that would not be such a problem. Okay, let's see the Mishnah Amud Beis. Shal Parkulus Ben Pelusfus as from Gamliel Ba'acho, Sheirochitz B'merchat Shal Afruditi. Rabbi Gamliel made use of a merchatz that was stationed near an avodah zara. It was like part of a complex of an avodah zara, and a certain Ovid Kochavim challenged him on it. It says in your Torah, you're not allowed to have any connection to the avodah zara. So how can you bathe in this bathhouse? So sorry, can't answer you while I'm in the merchatz. You're not allowed to talk divrei Torah in the merchatz. So kshayata amrlo, he gave him three answers once he came out. Anilo basi b'gvula, he ba b'gvuli. First answer was, merchatz was here first. If they built this merchatz for the sake of the avodah zara, that's one thing. Merchatz is here first, then they put an avodah zara next to it. That is not going to aser it. There's discussions in poskim of similar things, that if something comes later, does it have the ability to aser? There's a tshuva in the early poskim about...
kihila that in the Shar Ephraim was asked by a kihila that hired a rav, and the one of the conditions of his employment of the search committee was that they could only hire someone who has no family in the kihila. And then he moved into the kihila, and one of his children met a nice girl from the kihila, and they got married. So they said, ah, fireable offense. That so no, he hired him first, and then he became family. It wasn't family that was hired. So they used this idea that ani lo basi bigvula hiba'a bigvuli. Second, enom nasa merchatz noy l'afruditi elom nasa afruditi noy l'merchatz. They don't say that the merchatz serves the afruditi serves the merchatz. Third answer, davrachim nosen chamam and harbe iyatanichnas avos cham shelcha arum balkeri umashim b'faneha. No matter how much money people would give you, you wouldn't go to your deity totally unclothed and as a balkeri and urinate in front of it. Zuo medes al pi abiv, but over here people stand right by the gutter. V'kala amashdin l'faneha, and everyone urinates. So obviously it's not really treated like an avodah zarah. Lo nemar ela Eloheim eshenoy bo mishum Eloha aser. It says lo yifrav yachamu menacherim. Yeah, but that's only Eloheim. That's only when it's actually treated like a god. Eshenu noig bo mishum Eloha mutter. But if the way people treat it is with such disrespect, that's totally mutter. Ask the Gemara veichi avod hachi. How was Rabbi Gamliel even allowed to answer the way he did while he was in the merichat zvamer? Rabbi Abraham Rabbi Yochanan bekol makom mutter laharer chutz mi beis merichat beis hakisei. You're allowed to have Hirurei Torah anywhere except for a Beis HaMerchatz. Beis HaKisei, in an unclean place, you're not allowed to think Divrei Kedusha. So V'chitem B'Lashon Chol Amalein, if you can say, oh, maybe he was speaking to him in English. You know, he was speaking to him not in Lashon HaKodesh, and that makes it okay. V'amar Abai, Dvarm Shal Chol Mutzul Am B'Lashon Kodesh, Dvarm Shal Kodesh, Asa Lam B'Lashon Chol. You know, you could say things in Hebrew that are Dvarm Shal Chol, that's fine in the Beis HaKisei. What you're not allowed to do is say Dvarm Shal Kedusha, even in a Lashon Chol, so that doesn't answer it. So Tana Kesha Yatza Amar Lo Ein Mashiv Merchatz. It must be that he only responded to him after he had already left. After he had already left the Merchatz. But while he was there in Chinami, he couldn't respond to him. You know, there's a discussion in Poskim whether a person in the bathroom is allowed to think of Emunah B'Hashem. Is he allowed to think that he believes in God in the bathroom? Or do we say that's like thinking Divrei Torah in the bathroom? Chachma Shlomer, Shlom Kluger, Nor Chaim, Simin Pehei, says that Kal B'Chomer, that if you're not allowed to think Divrei Torah, which is a description of Hashem, so then Lechora, Kal B'Chomer, you're not allowed to think about Hashem himself, which is the greatest Kedusha. And then he says, you know, Mekubalim write that when you're wearing tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, you're allowed to speak Sichas Chulin. Why? So you say, oh, because they're not really tefillin? No, because they're holier tefillin. They're so holy that they're unaffected by Sichas Chulin. So says Chacham Shlomo, maybe if you hold such a vart, that certain things are so holy that they can remain totally unaffected by any sort of bizayon, so then maybe you could say that a thought of Emunah B'Hashem is beyond even Divrei Torah, and maybe that you're allowed to think in the Beis HaKisei. Mishabura recommends, he discusses, what should you be thinking Beis HaKisei? He says that you should think about anivus. You should think about that you're like an animal, that you're like a creature who has to expel waste like this in such a nivza way, that's a proper thought to reorient yourself in terms of your own level of gaiva. And that's for sure mutter to think in the Beis HaKisei. Okay, Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Yosef Berebi Amar Boshia. Tshuva Genuva Yeshiva Rabbi Gamliel Lo Sahegmon. Rabbi Gamliel's response was not an honest response. V'ani Omer Einu Genuva, but I say it was absolutely honest. My Genuva say, what are they arguing about? What was the machlokas, whether it was honest or not? Four explanations, we'll see if we can get to all of them. Number one, Dekamer Lo Zuha Medes Al Piyah Bivakala Demashim B'Faneha, that he said that people are urinating in front of it, they're obviously not treating it with respect. V'chimashim B'Faneha May Havi, what's the big deal about that? Why does that make it not enough of the Zara? There were types of avodah zarah that was the avodah. And I say, no, it is an honest answer. When that is the avodah, so then that's considered to be respectful to it. But when it's not the avodah, it's considered to be zayin to it. Second possibility. Here's why it was dishonest. That I didn't come to it; it came to me. Meaning the merchatz is here first. Who cares what was there first? Ogina nenen man shelo betova, veinen man betova. You're not allowed to give any hana'a. You're not allowed to show any tova, any akarsa tov to the priests when you're nena from it. Vani omer eino genuv, and I say that was not a dishonest response. Shelo betovas from Gamliel kitovas acherim dami. That even if from Gamliel didn't show any akarsa tov, it would be like akarsa tov because he's such a chash of a person, they would get a great geschmack from the fact that he was using it. Third possibility, that everyone's urinating in front of the, who cares? Vatnan, rock mifna, no matter what you do as far as urinating, throwing tsoa at it, it's not mevatel the avodazara. So why would that matter? It is an honest answer. It's not mevatel avodazara if you do it one time. But this is what they're doing constantly to this avodah zarah, and therefore, of course, it's mevatelit. And then a fourth and final possibility. Here's why it was dishonest. Which one's the ikur? Which one's the tafel? And even if the merchatz is only a decoration for the avodah zarah, well, still, why would that be problematic? There's no such thing as making something hektish lavo dezara. So what? They built a merchatz for the Aphrodite. That wouldn't be enough to make it aser. And I say that it was an honest response. It may not become aser by na, but you're still not. It's still a violation of na, of noi, that a person is going to use that bathhouse. It's still a noi level desire, and it's aser to be miyape an level desire, even though it didn't necessarily become aser by na. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow in Purim, we'll start with the Mishnah on the top of Mem Hei Amin Aleph. Thank you.